And we're going to look for our text. I'm going to read several scripture for Palm Sunday, but then we're going to find our text in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll read the first seven verses if you want to prepare for that. But Palm Sunday is when Jesus had his triumphal entry, and I always thought this is such a wonderful thing for someone that's going to give his life for us. And Jesus always needs to be praised because he's worthy. And so Matthew 21 and verse 9, it says, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna." The word Hosanna means save now. We sang the song this morning that had Hosanna in it. Hosanna to the Son of David. Now that's important. It's the Son of David because Jesus is going to fulfill the kingdom of David. And of course, David coming from Judah. And I thought, you know, Saul was the first king. Solomon was the wisest king. But it was the middle king that gets the glory here. And I'm glad it wasn't that Jesus is fulfilling the kingdom of Saul or Solomon, but David, because David had the right heart. So Hosanna to the Son of David, and that should make all, how many are middle children? There's even a complex about being middle children. I'm kind of a middle child, but then grew up as the oldest, so I got both problems, whatever they are. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In the book of Mark 11 and verses 9 and 10, "Then those who went before and those followed cried out, saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And then Luke 19 and 38 through 40, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, then the stones would cry out, would immediately cry out." And I think that's amazing. John finishes up in John 12, 12 and 13. "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees. Thank you, Andrew. He's providing special effects. We're kind of low tech this morning, I guess. And they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took the palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Let's pray this morning. Precious Savior, we honor you today. And we hope, Lord, that you fill our love as much as you did those that were there along the way leading into Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that our love will be a blessing to your heart today and that your mercy will change us and direct us and give us the strength that we need. Lord, we lean upon you with everything that we are. We pray your anointing. We pray your strength, your direction today, and we give glory to your holy name. Amen. I believe strongly in praise. I think it's the power of the church. I do think that those who are Pentecostal have a little edge in praising over any other group because I believe Jesus wanted that from his people. Praise is really, really emphasized in the book of Revelation. Now, if to me, if we want to follow, we say, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we really mean that, then we want to look ahead at what heaven is and we want to do that now. We want to be obedient to the will of God. We want to be cooperative to what he wants in our lives. And we want to give him praise. Praise is power. I spoke to Brother Kincaid yesterday and he said, he said, I remember when Don and Sister Jacobson and I would be called on to sing, Oh, What a Savior. How many knows what, I love that song. And it doesn't matter who sings it, if they can sing it, because it's not easy. It's a hard song to sing. You have to have a good range, and you have to be able to to handle it. I never have sang that, I don't believe, at any time in public. Probably won't. But, oh, what a Savior. And he said, and then the people would begin to shout and dance in the aisles. He said, Sister Nail, Grandma Nail would be dancing in the aisle. And who else did he say? Sister Nelson and Sister Calloway. He said, you could always count on them. And he said, every week, it seemed like, Brother Corin wanted us to sing that. And I said, well, Brother Corin knew what would work. Because when you start singing, oh, what a Savior, and you begin to hear those words and the strength of the song and the power of the melody there, then you want to rejoice in what a Savior he is. Oh, hallelujah. So praising Jesus, who is worthy of all praise, will unlock, I think, in our lives the impossible for our situations. And when the Pharisees told Jesus, you better shut those people up, they're crossing the line, they're giving you too much glory and forgetting about we have all the power. And Jesus said, if I try to hold them back, then the rocks are going to cry out. Why? Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. And not only that, but when Jesus died, when the Pharisees thought, well, we'll silence him for good, then the earth went dark and it began to quake and the rocks tore asunder. Not only that, but the veil of the temple tore asunder, which was an impossibility because you can't hold back the praise that's due the Lord. So what about the times, how many's ever had the time when you really don't feel like praising the Lord? Situations, life, it's rough. Sometimes it seems like there's tragedy after tragedy that comes to us. We're going to take this lesson from the life of David. Now, David was the great songwriter and worshiper of God. David had the heart after God's own heart. He also spent a lot of time as a fugitive. Have you ever looked at his life? My goodness. You know, you think once he was a king that he'd be safe, but he spent a little time on the road even when he was king and running and being chased, being pursued. He was a Goliath slayer. He was a spy in a way to the Philistines. And then eventually he became king. And that kingdom is the one that the Lord is going to set on the throne of David forever. If you want to look then in the scripture to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to read these seven verses. And we're going to talk a little bit about this story of David was in a real jam. I mean, it was tough. Now we're going to read that and you'll see. Verse 30, it says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from the small to the great. Now this is really important. This next line says they did not kill anyone. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. You know, you see a lot of drama portrayed on TV, and you see, even in history, we read about things that were just absolutely devastation. And we've seen a few times of devastation in this area with earthquakes, with fire in Oakland, and it just, you know, just you can't believe what's happening. So David had already had a string of situations that were tough for him, and then this come upon him as well. So David and the men came to the city, and it was burned with fire, and all that were gone. Then David and the people who were with them lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And I know a lot of people have been there. You've cried it out. Your heart's been broken. And it looks like, you know, it looks like everywhere you look, there's only darkness. But the promise of the Lord is where there is darkness, he'll be the light. Amen? And David's two wives, and Hinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. When you look at this and what David had been doing and his group, David probably lost more than all the rest of them. But that didn't ease the situation. That didn't give him special consideration, because it said, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters. And that I guarantee you, that would put grief in your heart, and it would want you, it would motivate you to want to get somebody. We're going to take care of somebody. And David was right there, and he was the leader. And unfortunately, oftentimes the leader gets the blame no matter what's going on, and they had nothing to do with it. David didn't want that, and many times leaders don't want what's happening. But the last line is our focus today, and that is that David strengthened himself in his God. So we want, let me just tell you a little bit more of the story. David had been running from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. And David had opportunities to kill Saul, but he didn't do it. And then he said, well, you know what? I'll go where he won't care about me going. I'll go to the Philistines. They were the enemies of Israel. And he said, I'll go and kind of, and I believe with all my heart that David wasn't there because he wanted to help the Philistines. I believe he was there to help himself stay alive. And it worked. And he signed up with the Philistines, and one of the leaders had great confidence in him. David would go out to battle, and he would destroy other, you know, nations that were, or cities that were probably more enemies to Israel. Matter of fact, where this is in the Gaza Strip. Can you imagine if David destroyed enough, there might not be the conflict today. Still today, Israel's hated by those people, and they're trying to destroy Israel. And so David was out doing that. The Philistines thought he was doing good for them, and he's right now, he's on our side, and he'll never forsake us. And David said, well, you know, it's not right for us to live in the royal city. Why don't you give us a place of our own? And so they give him Ziklag. And so David went and inhabited Ziklag, and all of his men, his 600 men, and all of their families were there. And it came a point to where the Philistines said, wait a minute, this is David you're taking care of. This is David. You've set him up. And who knows when he's going to turn on us. And so they said, you've got to get him out of here. We can't let him be a part of our association. We can't let him on the inside. We don't trust David, because we've heard the songs they sang, Saul slain his thousands, but David is 10th. We better watch him. We better be afraid of him. And so the man that David was responsible to, Achish, said, okay, David, you better go. As soon as it gets daylight, you better go. And so when he went, so he was already rejected. He was already sent away from a place he thought he could be comfortable and stay alive. And then he comes to this situation where everything was gone, and all the city was burned, and it was absolutely devastating. Absolutely. You think, I don't know if you've ever said it. I said it one time and not against. Things couldn't get any worse. Because the next day things got so much worse, I couldn't believe it. I wrote in my little journal, things couldn't get any worse. The next day I wrote, oh my goodness, things got worse. I never expected this. I never saw it coming. But you know what? That is a time where we need to strengthen ourselves in our Lord. David, in the Amplified Bible, it says, David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The Message, David strengthened himself with trust in God. King James Version, David encouraged himself in the Lord. NIV, that David found strength in the Lord his God. And the New Living Translation, but David found strength in the Lord his God. So what we need to understand is, when it is so tough of a time, when we can't see not even a speck of light, when there's no hope at all, we need to get into the Lord in the relationship that Jesus has provided on the cross by shedding his blood, by giving his life, and then 3 days later, resurrecting. My little talk with Skip yesterday, and he said, you know, I think Jesus was crucified on Thursday. Because he said, it doesn't work. And he said, Darren was just over in Israel, and their guide said the same thing. And I don't know. I think Thursday. I think that makes sense. But it doesn't matter. Jesus died, and he shed his blood on Calvary for our sins, but not only our sins, but all of our well-being. So that anything that we have need of, any dark day, any terrible time of defeat, any string of things that go wrong. When I was a younger preacher, I had read the story of Daniel, how that the Lord delayed, or you know, he was delayed 21 days of getting the answer to his prayer. And I said, that's good. That's good. Just 21 days, anyone can last that long. And then Brother Smith, when he was resigning the church here, he said, well, Jim, you know, Job, and all of his suffering and all of his loss, it only took a year. And then he was back up, and everything was running good. So I thought, well, okay, maybe a year. But I've seen some times where it was several years stacked upon several years, and things didn't seem to get any better. But let me tell you what. There's never been even a stretch of things that have gone wrong that some way or another Jesus hasn't stepped in and made things right and given us another opportunity, and that he has provided, that he has restored, and that he has strengthened. It is natural for someone that's in a bad situation to want to blame someone else or want to complain. Oh my goodness, Lord, you know what we were doing? We were working for you. We were out not evangelizing. We were actually killing people and so forth. But we really were doing your work. We were doing what we were should have done years and years ago. And here we doing your work and this happens to us? How in the world can that be? But that's when we need to do everything and bring our focus back to Jesus. We were at the Venture Church in Los Gatos yesterday. Claire had a wonderful show that she and maybe a few other kids were doing. I was pretty much focused on Claire. And then at the end of it, Brother Ingram ministered That was the main thing, although we went the main thing for Claire to sing. And they had other people singing, but again, how many grandparents know what I'm talking about? So Chip Ingram did his message, and it was about following Jesus. And I thought, you know what? It seems to be the message today that we have encumbered ourselves with so many things, and we need to put those things away, and we need to focus on Jesus Christ. He is our deliverer. He is our deliverer. He is our baptizer. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's everything. So when it gets like, oh my goodness, Lord, I don't know if I can take another minute of this, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to read about, we need to study about Jesus. That's why we're studying the book of Mark. And as Sister Melva said this morning, it's a quick book. Jesus does this, 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 boom, boom, boom. In chapter 5, he casts out the legion of demons. He healed the lady with the issue of blood, and he brought back to life a little girl, 12 years old. That's our Jesus. Let's focus on what he does. Not so much on the things of this world. I know I get carried away with politics sometime, most of the time. And other things, and you know, and what's right and what's wrong. There's times I've said, Lord, don't you care that these people are being so ugly and not paying attention to you and rebellious? Can't we do something about it? But the Lord has a love that covers all these people, and he covers me too, so I want to be a part of that love. We need to remember, we need to think about what the Lord has done. We need to just rehearse in our heart. But wait a minute. I remember when this was the situation and the Lord moved us from there to here and he began to bless and strengthen and give us all kinds of blessings. The only thing I can tell you, in a lot of the hardships, we grow stronger in the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? So many times, those down times, because number one, you stop being focused on other things and you're focused on Jesus that can give you help. If we give up, there is no victory. If we stop, if we take our focus away from the Lord, if we focus only on ourselves, if we focus only on complaining, then there is not going to be victory. We're going to miss that totally. We can't give up. But as David's situation was bad David started scrambling, well, get the priest and get that ephod, and we're going to find out what God wants us to do. In other words, David was the leader, and he stepped up in the situation. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and then he inquired of the Lord, what shall we do? And God said, you're going to get up, and you're going to pursue. And you're going to fight, and you're going to win. And there may be more of them than you, but it doesn't matter because I'm on your side. You're going to go forth, and you're not going to lose one person in the battle or any that have been taken, and you're not going to lose one bit of your possessions. The reason I said David had more possessions is because he was the leader. And when they went into these cities, they killed the men and the women. And I don't know, I didn't see the reference of what happened to the children, but the things that they took that became theirs, and they took it. Now, one of the reasons that it's to me amazing that these people, that family members of David and his group, they were left alive by the Amalekites. And if it was really revenge, you'd want to do the same thing that was done to you. But that didn't happen. Why? Because there was a God above that was protecting David as David was doing what he was called to do by the Lord. So David's situation was bad, but God showed up. No one got hurt. Everything was restored. So it comes to our lives. You know, how many... Don't raise your hands. I don't want to incriminate anyone. How many watches reality shows? And you snicker because there's not a lot of reality in some of these reality shows. It's the biggest contrived mess you've ever seen. Maybe The Voice, I don't know. But our reality is what we're dealing with today. And our situation, the darkness in someone else's life may not mean a lot to us, but boy, the darkness in ours does. And Jesus is the light for us and for us all. There's a lot of people that have struggled with sickness. And as Brother Arden mentioned, his daughter and diabetes. Diabetes is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. My mom had diabetes, and she was on insulin from the time she was 49 years old. She lived to be 78, and insulin every day. And she worried about losing a toe. She worried about any problems that she might have. She had two siblings, a sister and a brother, who had juvenile diabetes, and they passed away very young. And their lives was always, you know, they were always subject to that diabetes. And the things that they had back then probably weren't as good as they are today. Mom spent, I think, about 10 years on dialysis, maybe a little bit longer. But diabetes was harsh on her, and it's harsh on anybody. And so there are sicknesses, you know, that really are overwhelming and awful. But Jesus is the light. And he can bring strength to every illness. He can bring healing. The same Jesus and the same blood that saves us is the same power that heals us. Seems like it's easier to believe for salvation than it is for healing. I don't know why that is. And me and the Lord's discussed this several times. Well, Lord, the Bible says, Mark 16, these signs shall follow the believers. And I don't see, you know, devil's... And I'm not blaming the Lord. That's bad news. And I'm not even blaming myself or the church. But I do want to be open for what the Lord wants to do in our church and in our lives. Amen? So we need to open our hearts to the light of the Lord, and the Lord will fill our lives with light. Debbie, would you come to the piano? I want us to spend some time in prayer this morning. Since my back has been hurting, the thing that hurts me the most besides standing up is raising my hand. And just as soon as I do, boom, there's a pain that starts in my back and goes down. A lot of people are like that. So when we call you forward, let's stand to the front, and anybody that can't stand for a long time can sit down. Would I have been so compassionate if I didn't hurt? I don't know. But since I'm hurting, I am. I want to make sure that, because I want you to be comfortable before the Lord for a few minutes and just wait upon the Lord. I'm going to read a story that Don Dryden wrote, and it's, a song, but it's one of several. And this is a beautiful melody and a beautiful, beautiful words. Verse 1 says, I heard a true story of one from above who died on cruel Calvary to show me his love. He bore all my sorrow that I might go free. I know that he loves me every time I sing. The dawn melts the darkness. That's one of my favorite lines. The sun fills the sky. The dawn melts the darkness. The sun fills the sky. That's just how sure Jesus loves you and I. The rain fills the rivers and the wind blows the trees. And that's just how sure he's mindful of you and me. The title of this is He's Mindful. And verse 2 says, the cross that he carried was more than his share. Yet he bore all of my sorrow and he bore all my care. I know that he loves me. He will eternally. I give him all praises every time I sing. How many gets up early in the morning? It's dark. Every time you see the sun come up, you can know this. Even if it's a rainy day, the sun still comes up and it still gets light. You can know that Jesus loves you. The dawn melts the darkness. The sun fills the sky. And that's just how sure Jesus loves you and I. The rain fills the rivers and the wind blows the trees. And that's just how sure he's mindful of you and me. I'm glad that we have a God that is personal. Now, I've talked with people about church. I had a guy say, I don't like church. I said, well, it's not so much about church, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus who loved you and died for you. And not so much about church. But Jesus is mindful of every one of our situations. He cares about us, and he's able to minister to our hearts and lives. His love, you know, as human beings, our love is not perfect. I think we do the best we can, and sometimes we don't do that good, but Jesus never fails in his love. I'd like you to stand with us and come to the front, because I know that there's been struggles, and I know that we've had issues. I don't know that the Lord is going to do anything supernatural in your life and shock you into something new or not, but I do know this, that when we encourage ourselves in the Lord by praising and loving him, that it's going to do us some good. I thought it's been a long ways from the time that Don and Brother Skip and Sister Jacobson would sing and people would shout in the aisle. My first thought was, when I heard that, well, those were old people. Then I began to do the math and I thought, they're probably a lot younger than me. I know that the singers were younger at that time, because this is when Brother Corn was here in the 50s. So they were a lot younger. They were just young people. But even the people dancing in the aisles were young people. How many's young today? We have that opportunity, that to look forward to. But I want us to pray. I want us to just focus not on the people around you or anything, not even going to hold hands. We're going to focus on Jesus. Would you love him for a bit? Would you let him minister to your heart and your life? Because who knows what the Lord might have for you. He's the creator of everything that we see. And like Jesus said, if the children and if the people stop their praise, then the rocks will cry out. Let's pray together. Precious Jesus, we stand before your presence today. And Lord, it's not exactly the same as when you were riding that donkey into town, but Lord, you're able to do beyond what we can ask or think today. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to your church. Here we are. We're standing with our hearts open. Lord, you see the darkness in our lives. You see sickness. You see sore bodies, Lord, and just so many ways, Lord, that we're hurting in backs and our knees and feet and headaches and all the things, Lord, that we are suffering. And I pray today that by your Spirit that you'll minister, Lord, because that's a bondage, because it brings fear, because it's hardship. And I pray today, Lord, that your healing power will flow, just as your blood has cleansed us, Lord. By your stripes we were healed. And Lord, today we pray for not only us, but those who are not here, for Brother Connor and others that are not here. Lord, let your healing waters flow. Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, reach out and minister to. I pray, Lord, that your love and your power will fill our lives. Jesus, you're everything. Jesus, you're everything. You've given us salvation. You've brought life and love and power in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us today. Whatever the darkness is, whatever the hurt, Lord, whatever the pain, Lord, I pray that you'll minister today your comforting grace, your healing power. Lord, if there's anyone that's here this morning that's not born again, I pray that you'll bring a conviction to their heart. Lord, that you'll draw them like you drew me at 8 years old and you said you need to get saved. Lord, I thought I was saved. I was going to church and doing all the right things that I could. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to hearts with that same conviction. And let us realize that it's not a matter of going to church or doing good things. It's a matter, Lord, of knowing you as Savior and accepting you into our hearts and letting you be Lord of our lives. I pray that conviction. And I pray the power of your Holy Spirit will minister in every life that is open and welcoming you. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll fill with your Spirit. Lord, just as I was 10 years old, I raised my hand by the instruction of a youth leader, and I was filled. No struggle, Lord. No big effort. I just opened and you were there. Lord, by your Spirit, come into our lives, Lord. Let us have the evidence of speaking in another tongue. Let us have the freedom, Lord, of your Spirit flowing within our hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, for everyone. Everyone, it may have been 20 years, it may have been 50 years since we were filled, but let us flow today in the power of your Spirit. Let us say yes to the Spirit. Lord, it's your Spirit. Lord, we fail as humans, but your Spirit does not fail. And you've given us the opportunity to receive, and I pray you bless. Lord, as you breathed on your disciples, you said, receive the Spirit. And then on the day of Pentecost, they stood, and there was a mighty rushing wind. Lord, let the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit touch upon each and every one of our hearts and lives. We know you as Savior, and we love you today. We want our praise, Lord, to be glory to your name. And I pray strength to our lives. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We're not at any point in our lives independent of where we know so much or where we've lived so good or we've done so many good things that we don't need you. We need you today. We need your Spirit flowing in our hearts and lives. Help us, O Lord. Minister your peace. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. You're Almighty God. You're Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Holy God. Holy God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here he under the Lydia, Sidia Lydia, Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, 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 not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's so unfortunate that we look to Christian celebrities at times thinking they're going to bring us something. Folks, it comes from Jesus. And it's direct to you. Nobody between you and God except Jesus. And when he fills us with the Holy Spirit, it's like we have a wonderful combination of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And oh, how he loves you and I. And as the song that Don wrote says, that's just how sure he's mindful of you and me. Whatever your situation is, dive more into Christ. Let him minister to you. He can give you firm foundation. He can give you strength in your life. How many right now can raise your hand and say, I have an impossible situation that I can't figure it out? Jesus is the answer for whatever that situation is, and he'll give you direction. He'll help you. We have to look to him as individuals, though. We can all pray for you, lay hands on you. We can shout and sing all around you, but you're the one that has to reach out to Jesus for yourself. And he will be mindful. I wish I could just let you know how much he loves you and how much he's mindful of every situation of your life. He really loves you. We're going to pray one more prayer and conclude the service this morning. We appreciate everyone here. Keep Pastor Connor in your hearts and in prayer. And remember the service tonight at 6:00. And we'll, years ago, I asked Brother Smith, I said, what's the secret to your success? And how can, you know, I'm a young guy, what can I do? He said, just have church. He said, sing, testify, preach, pray. He said, that's what it is. And so tonight we'll just have church and be prepared to testify. Precious Savior, we honor you today, and we're so thankful for this, your people. What a wonderful group of people that we fellowship with. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll bring comfort and strength, healing, mercy, tenderness. Lord, that for everyone that's here, let them feel your love every day. Give them a hug in whatever way you can every day. We love you and give you glory. Amen.